Clive Bowden is going out to the mound. El Mavallo going down to coach at first. Sally Hemus at third for the Indians. And coming on now, sorry he wasn't with us yesterday, one of the few clinches he's ever missed, the voice of the Yankees, Mel Allen.
Thank you very much, Phil. And a football game. Right now, my little nephew, about 2 years old, seeing his first baseball game. Phil, he might not shoot himself.
He's excited.
And my niece is sick. Hi, Andy. You know, other kids have a lot of fun coming to the ball game. Does them a lot of good. I really think it does. I saw my first game. Oh, by the way, hello there, everybody. I saw my first game when I was about the same age. That's Larry's kid there. When I was about 2 and a half, but I don't remember it. About 1,200 miles from here, the Class A League. But my mother remembers it very well because my father had to travel 30 miles from a small mining town where we lived to take me. But he had to attend to some business. And so he told my mother. He was a great baseball fan. What business he had to attend to, he tended to in a hurry. Well, that night, he came back. Mom was undressing me, putting me to bed. Did you have a good time traveling with Daddy today? And she said, I said, yes. And I started talking about having peanuts, soda pop. She knew what had happened. Well, we're all set to go. I knew that the clinching would take place the day that I had to do my first football game. If it took place, that is. D'Avalio swings at the first pitch and bounces it to Gonzalez at second. A throw over to Higgins, and there's one away. One pitch, one out. Pedro Gonzalez playing second base. Jim Higgins' boy at first base. Mike Higgins. They were asking me about him yesterday up in Worcester, Massachusetts, where we were televising. Now they first pitch to Dick Houser's line to left for a base hit. Jimenez tosses it back into Lynn. Higgins had gone to Holy Cross. Syracuse played Holy Cross yesterday. We televised the game. So they were asking me quite a lot about Mike. And I didn't have too much to tell them other than the fact that he was a fine young man following the footsteps of his illustrious father. Big Bob Chance, left-hand hitter up. Bouton pitches a fastball at the inside corner for a strike. Nothing and one. Jim Bouton. Now the pitch. And it's outside for a ball. Jig Gibbs is back to the plate. Jimenez in left, Moore in center, and Blanchard in right. Bouton's delivery swung on, hits bounce to first. Higgins grabs it, throws to second for one. Back to Bouton. Safe. Chance beat the relay back. A good chance for the double play the hard way. Mike took a little too much time in throwing the second. But that's one of the things you learn as you come along. In other words, he took the extra step. Whereas you learn to grab that ball and throw without taking the step. He took the ball and took the extra step and then threw the second. Extra step makes a difference. Leon Wagner, Daddy Wags at bat with two down. And the pitch swung on and fouled out of the middle of the catcher, Jake Gibbs. Strike one. Vito Francona is on deck. No balls, one strike. And the pitch is high and away for a ball. The count is 1-1. One ball, one strike. Hector Lopez, playing third base, where he has on occasion performed. The delivery swung on and fouled back. 1-2. I remember one day Hector had in Kansas City. And he remembers it well, too. There were several balls that were hit to him at third. This was when he was playing with Kansas City. More properly, I should say they were hit through him at third base. The pitcher Wagner swung on. Beautiful changeup. Strike three. It was one of those days, though, where everybody did things wrong. It's so bad that 15 minutes after the game is over, Lou Boudreau, who was then managing, brought the old ball club back out on the field and particularly Lopez and gave Batten rather fielding practice. No run, one hit, no errors, and one left on. At the end of the first half, the first inning, Cleveland nothing, and New York coming to bat. You've heard many times before, and it's so true. It's what's up front that counts. You know those well-known Winston words? They tell you that up front, ahead of its modern filter, only Winston gets you filter blend tobaccos. Fine, golden tobaccos, specially selected, and then specially processed for the best taste in filter smoking. Well, if it's what's up front that counts, it's who's out front that proves the point, and that's Winston. Way out front is America's largest selling filter cigarette by far. Yes, people who know and enjoy filter smoking have made Winston their overwhelming choice. So, if you're looking for flavor in a filter cigarette, why not change to America's best-tasting filter cigarette? The only one with both a modern filter and exclusive filter blend up front. Join the swing to Winston. Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should. Now it's the last half of the first inning. Bill Lins will lead off. Jake Gibbs on deck. Elvio Jimenez on deck. And doing the pitching is Luis Tion. We are awaiting the arrival of the Indian catcher, Duke Sims. A biscuit of casket, he's lost his big catching basket. But he'll be up in a minute. You know, with Gibbs on deck, it reminds me that there have been very few catchers in the history of baseball that ever hit second. One of them was Mickey Cochran. That's about as far back as I go without doing some research. I only got to see him play a couple of games before I got into this business, but I do know that he hit number two in the order. All right, we're ready to go. And here's Phil Lynn. Batting 252. Right-hander Louis Tion delivers. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike one. The pitch is swung on and fouled off to the right of the plate for a strike. The Pitch is swung on, fouled down the right field line, and the ball is fading out of play. Louis Tion with a record of 10-4. One and one against New York. He's low with his next pitch, and the count is 1-2. Tion's first major league appearance after being called up by the Indians was against the Yankees in this ballpark, and he shut them out. And the date was July 19th. He pitched a four-hitter. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. Bill Lynn strikes out. As a matter of actual fact, I would say that the two most outstanding new pitchers in the league, having been brought up after the middle of the season, were Tion and Sotomayor. Tion's opening start against the Yankees here, he beat them 3-0. He beat Boston, lost a one-run decision in Washington. Jake Gibbs takes one outside, then he beat Detroit. No decision against Washington. He beat Minnesota, blanked the Angels. Lost to the Twins. Then he beat Kansas City, L.A. The pitch swung on, hit sharply the first on a hop to Bob Kent. Steps on first, retired Jake Gibbs. Unassisted, two away. And then he had three straight appearances where there were no decisions in which he was involved, but 3 one-run game has resulted. Then he beat the White Sox and the Tigers. Lost the Yankees in relief. Lost the Orioles by 2 runs and blanked the Red Sox. Elvio Jimenez hits the first pitch to short. Hauser up, but it throws the chance in time, and the side is retired in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of the first inning, the Indians nothing and the Yankees nothing. Jake Gibbs batting second. I turned my mind back to the days when I was at college. I know that Mickey Cochran, he managed the Tigers. We have no way of checking all batting orders. Let's see, it was somewhere around 34. We have no batting order there, except the World Series book, Bill. It may have it. If you look up the 34, 35 series, Mickey Cochran, the man to the Tigers in 35-4. Cardinals beat the Tigers in 34, four games out of seven. Dizzy Dean winning two games and Paul Dean winning two. Mean Paul. That's all. The next year, the Tigers beat the Cubs 4-2. We're ready now with the first half of the second inning. Tito Francona swings to the first pitch, grounds it to short. Up with it is Bill Lins. The throw to Mike Egan in time. One away. Don't have it. Corner grounds out to short. Now coming up is Max Alves, hitting 252, right hand batter. Jim Bott delivers, and it's low for a ball. We have nothing to report elsewhere in the American League as yet. Washington, Boston, Kansas City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Minnesota. Pitch is low and inside for a ball. The count is 2-0 on Alves, the only game scheduled. While in the National League, forth. After a bit, the Mets, the Cards, Phils, and Reds will be playing. The pitch is right in there for a strike, 2-1. To decide whether or not the National League pennant winner will be established today or whether it will have to await the outcome of the playoffs. Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, Los Angeles completes the set. The pitch is swung on and foul back. Count is 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Jim Bouton's 38th appearance, his 37th start. The 2-2 delivery, changeup is swung on and popped high in the air into left. Jimenez comes in under it and makes the catch. Two away. Jimenez. Martinez up, and he takes a pitch for a strike. You know, there are many names which become anglicized, even if not publicized. Take on a different accent. Pitch is inside for a ball, 1-1. Many people call themselves Martinez. Martinez is his pronunciation. Ramos, proper pronunciation is Ramos. The 1-1 delivery, swung on and fouled back. But there are those whose parents have been here before them in this country, or they're either second generation or third. Lou Boudreau, for example, they would say. But actually, he pronounced it Boudreau. The 1-2 pitch right in there, called strike three, and the side is retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of an inning and a half, Cleveland nothing, New York nothing. You know, friends, when it comes to flavor in a filter cigarette, it has to come from the tobacco end. Yes, for flavor in filter smoking, it's what's up front that counts. If a filter cigarette hasn't got it there, let me tell you, it just hasn't got it at all. Let me tell you this, Winston's got it. It's really got it. Up front, ahead of a modern filter, Winston, and only Winston, gives you filter blend. Filter blend means fine golden tobaccos, specially selected and then specially processed for the very best taste in filter smoking. Modern filter and filter blend up front. No wonder Winston is America's largest selling filter cigarette by far. So if you're looking for good taste in a filter cigarette, change to Winston. Discover for yourself what millions of other filter smokers know. Winston tastes good. Like a cigarette should. John Blanchard leading off in the last of the second. Louis Keon. Now, there's a name that conjures up elements of proper pronunciation. Changeup is swung on and lined back through the middle for a base hit. Blanchard singles to center, and up comes Hector Lopez. Keon from Havana delivers now to Lopez from Panama. One ball, no strike. Good Spanish and French. based on Latin and part of the Romance languages. Throw to first, and the runner's back. I dare say there was a time when Johnny's forebears pronounced the name Blanchard. Could have been. Blanchard leading away from first, and the pitch swung on and hit foul down the right field line out of play. The one name I always remembered, though, from school days, was spelled C-H-O-L-M-O-N-D-E-L-E-Y. It was, of course, in public speaking. And the way they pronounced it in England was Shimley. I never could get Shimley out of Charlemagne DeLay. The 1-1 pitch swung on a little tap. It's slowly towards Chance. Chance up with it. Flips to Dion, covering first in time. The point of the whole matter is that regardless of spelling a proper name, there is no standard of pronunciation, really. It's how you want to call it. We had a pitcher with Detroit, you'll recall, named Art Houteman. H-O-U-T-T-E-M-A-N, who for many years, or for a long while at least, not for many years, everybody called him Houteman. And just standing with him one day on the Tiger bench, I discovered that he preferred Houteman. Mike Hegan up as Blanchard reaches second. Hegan bats left-handed. Dion's delivery is outside for a ball. It isn't how you spell it, it's how you pronounce it when it comes to proper names. One ball, no strike. The delivery to Hegan is high and away. Ball two. Two balls, no strike. We just discovered now, doing a little research, that once there was a catcher, as we go back in retrospect, who let off. Roger Bresnahan. He was a great one. But the Giants. The delivery. High and away for a ball. The 1905 series. Those are the only lineups that we have access to. I'll say one thing. Roger Bresnahan had to be a great catcher. Because it takes two to tango, you know. And he caught some great ones like Christy Matthews. Big six. Three balls, no strikes on Mike Hegan. And the pitch. High and away, ball four, and he walks. Pedro Gonzalez. Gonzalez, the right-hand batter. Blanchard on second. Hegan on first. One out. Luis Dion ready. And the pitch. Swung on. There's a high, high pop into medium center. Davalio moves in under it and makes the catch. And they're two away. Up comes Archie Moore. Bill Dickey hits fifth. Gus Mancuso sixth. Gabby Hartnett hits fourth. The pitch to Moore is in there for a strike. Hartnett hit fourth of the Cubs against the Tigers at the time that Cochran hit second for Detroit.
Key onto the stretch, two down, two on. The pitch is swung on and looped into left field. Wagner chasing, he can't get it. The ball is high. Around third comes Blanchard in the score. In the third goes Hagan, and in the second goes Archie Moore with a slash double to left, and the Yankees lead 1-0. That brings up Jim Bouton. Jim Bouton, who last year won 21 and lost 7, and with a bit of a break, could have been a 20-game winner already. He's been a hard worker. Record of 18-13 going into this game. Runners on second and third and two outs. Keon's pitch is swung on and it popped up. Third baseman Max Alves, and then the shortstop Dick Houser gets over, and Houser makes the catch. One run for the Yankees. Two hits. No errors for the Indians. Two left on for New York, and at the end of two innings of play, the Yankees won, the Indians nothing. As we go to the third inning, Duke Sims will lead off. Louis Keon follow, and then Davalio. Always at the end of the year, we like to express our appreciation to many people. And this year, again, our thanks to Dan Topping, Del Webb, and Arthur Freedom of the executive staff. The pitch is in there to Duke Sims. To Ralph House and Dan Topping, general manager and assistant to the general manager, Jack White, Johnny Johnson, George Pfister, director of scouts, farm director of the minor league clubs, and assistant to the farm director. And the secretaries to the group. And Duran, secretary and office manager for Mr. Topping, Clyde Winfield, Francis Hanahan. The pitch is swung on line, Salovey in the right field, but foul. Marie Holland, Francine Smith, Kathleen Jackson, publicity director Bob Fischel, Bill Guilfoyle, and Jackie Farrell, Connie Fernandez and Madeline Englehart, secretaries, and Nola Stacy, telephone operator and receptionist at the downtown office. Here's the stadium. Bruce Henry, a former road secretary and current stadium manager. Dan O'Sullivan, chief of security. Now the pitch to Duke. Changeup is swung on and missed. Strike three. Duke's in. Tom O'Brien, the press gate, Jim Conte, the receiving clerk, Gus Tinka, and George Meltzer, electrician, and Annette Colangelo, secretary. Controller Joe Carson, his assistant, Sardi, and Don Green and Ray Taggart, and the accounting department, along with Louise Schelling, secretary Helen Smith, payroll clerk Helen Madigan. Now Louis Tion takes from outside. And the ticket department, Jimmy Gleason, ticket director, Mike Rendine, season box director. And in the department, Joe Carey, Paul Gerenay, Charlie Egan, Clem Jerkins, Billy Morales. Next pitch is swung on, a high drive into deep right, and the ball is into the right field stand for a home run for Louis Tion. The ball just kept taking it over. Tion. Major League homer. Ties the score, one all. And as he trots around the bases, we'll continue to trot around our bases of thanking folks who worked hard around here. Pat Lee, John Scanlon, Frank Kalanya, Carmine Rendine, Paul Hennahan, Betty Rosenblum, and Greta Neville to the ticket department. Joe Biden, secretary. Davalio takes the strike. Pat Taggart, secretary, Bill Ackman, special services, and Loretta Herman, secretary to that department. Davalio swings and lifts a high foul off third. Lopez after it under it, and one-handed near the barrier, which retires Mr. Davalio. Hard-working folks on the switchboard at the stadium, Rita Major, Mabel Dury, and Mary Kane. office messenger, Jim Crowley. Mailroom and office clerk, Anthony Siegel. Scouting department, Bill Skip, director of scouting in the Eastern area. The pitch is low to Dick Houser. Harry Hesse, Frank O'Rourke, Arthur Deedy, Randy Gumpert, Bill Yancey, Bernie Oates, Frank Novosel, Tom Kane, and Bob Decker. Next pitch is in four strikes. Road Secretary Bill Perkins. Club doctors, Dr. Sidney Gaynor, Dr. John Gutt, Nurse Catherine Pollard. Next pitch is swung on, hit back through the middle for base hit. Club trainers Joe Stories and Don Seeger. In the background, but in the foreground, keeping a team in condition. Clubhouse attendants, Pete Sheehy, Pete Treverty, Nick Corman of the visiting clubhouse. Bat boys, Tony Florio and Greg Cahoon. Press box custodian, Joe Barraskill. Man in the public dress, the fine boys, Bob Shepard. Western Union operators and directors, Howard Smith, Lou Hollander, Sol Habel, and Herb Mandelbaum. Bob Chance up, lifts the first pitch high to right. Manchin under it, makes the catch at the barrier. For the Allied Service that is here, Jimmy Esposito, superintendent for Allied. And we'd like to thank them. At the end of 2.5 innings, one run, let's see. One hit, no errors. Two hits, no errors, and one left on. Indians won and the Yankees won. In the last half of the third, Bill Lynn leads off. Lynn struck out in the first inning. Takes pitch for a strike from Louis Tion. One all the score. Pitch is swung on, bounces to short. Nice high hop to Houser. Will throw to Chance in time. To those who have served, a lot of the folks here in the stadium, the automatic canteen group, Warren Bridger, the operations manager, I thanks to him. To those in charge of the stadium club personnel, Johnny Bogle, Gene Kilmurray, supervisor and steward. And to the fine men in blue who maintain order outside. Jake Gibbs fouls the ball off to the left of the plate. Assistant Chief Inspector Pat McCormick, Deputy Chief Inspector Jeremiah Brennan. Captain Peter Nosdale, Lieutenant Jim Skenyon, Sergeant Richard Saxon and Mike Murphy, and Harold Wiegand, Patrolman. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Patrolman Mike Shine, Joseph Gravius, Vito Dedabo, and Sal Von DeSuto. Transit Police Chief Thomas J. O'Rourke. Now the next pitch. Jimenez swings on it. It's a high fly to right, and it's caught right at the line by Tito Francona to retire the side. I'd like to thank our TV crew, Jack Murphy, Don Carney, Jim Hunter, Stan Palasik, Louis Clement, Frank LaFrosha, Andy Bereka, Cal Calamera, Adrilio Cristopoli, Walter Booth, and Lou Moulette. Dan Sullivan of Audio, Frank Galasso, and Bert Couturier. That takes care of just about most everybody, but not everybody. Always miss a few. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. But without these people, you don't do your job. Right now, I'd like to tape the next portion of this game will be brought to you by Ballantine Beer. Beer after beer, the most refreshing around. So smile, settle back, and enjoy baseball and ice-cold Ballantine beer. Jim Bouton has had it, just taking a three-inning workout. Now as we get ready to move to the fourth inning of a 1-1 ball game, all set to move in, the old redhead, Red Barber. Now,
How did it feel to be back at football yesterday?
Very fine. In fact, it was an excellent game from the standpoint that the underdog surprised and held the top dog in check for 2.5 quarters. But it had to be up at Holy Cross, and our folks were asking about Mike Egan, who went to school up there. And, you know, Holy Cross sent more men, perhaps, to the major leagues than any other university. So they still talk baseball even during football season up there.
Okay, boy. Now we move along into inning 4. And we have Leon Wagner first up for the Indians. We got a 1-1 tie going here at the stadium, last day of the season. The curtain is coming down, and we'll have action here again. Game 3 of the World Series, and there's no man alive can tell you when that'll be. Wagner hits a high pop fly. Second baseman Gonzalez is under easily, and we have one down. Oh, my goodness. Busy talking to Mal about football. Mal Rennick has come on. Yogi said he was going to pitch his start about just 3 innings for tune up. Yogi got the blanket off some of the fellas who've been in the dugout. He sure kept the heat on those regulars, didn't he? I bet you Elston Howard didn't know what to do with himself in the dugout. There's a high fly ball hit by a front corner out into short right field, and there is the second baseman Gonzalez on the distance. So two up, two from out. Mal Rennick has taken over for about 1-1 ball game. Rennick will pitch 2 or 3. This is game number 41 for Rennick. He's won 6 and lost 4. Guy had a little arm trouble in the middle of the season. In fact, Yogi's whole bullpen flat out on it. This wasn't an easy punt to win. In fact, I've heard a lot of the Yankees say that they regard this as the toughest one that they ever won. The hitter is Max Alvis, the right-hand batting third baseman. Rennick throws him low outside, ball one. Al Rennick. Curve swung on. There is a high pop-up in the short right field. There's Gonzalez out underneath it. And he ties a record. 3 put outs in an inning. Isn't that something? How about that? And the score at the end of 3.5 remains the Indians 1 and Louis Tiant 1.
Valentine's Day. It comes off the ice sparkling cold.
Valentine's Day.
It's smooth and satisfying all the way.
Valentine's Day.
Go ahead, enjoy the best.
You get a smile every time with a Valentine. Won't fill you up. Won't let you down.
The crisp, clean taste of a Valentine.
Won't fill you up. Won't let you down. So get a smile every time with a Valentine. Won't fill you up. Won't let you down. Well, what a beer. That's Valentine.
Now we're getting ready for the last of the fourth inning. Johnny Blanchard, who's in right field this afternoon, singled in the second inning for the Yankees. First hit, moved up on an infield out and scored on Archie Moore's double for the Yankee tally. The Cleveland run was a home run by Louis Tiant, which he hit in the right field stand, opposite field, third inning. Pitches over for a strike to Blanchard. Blanchard had a change of pace in the second inning. Pass ball is over, strike 2. I bet the Tiant doesn't throw him a change of pace here in the fourth. These pitchers are very superstitious. You hit something off of them and you don't see it again. 2 strike pitch, go outside. I remember one time during a World Series between Cincinnati and Detroit. At that time for the Tigers, they had a big right-hander named Bobo Newsom, who was one of their star pitchers. Then still in his prime.
Now, he was very superstitious. One of the things he'd do is he would not step on a foul line. There's a high foul back out of play. You could see he breaks steps. He stepped, and he didn't even step close. He made a big step over, as though it were a log or something over the foul line when he was going to the mound or back from the mound. And I just got the notion, I'd sort of do a little feature, you know, on superstition from all things. And Hank Dowdy was coaching for the Reds, and he was the most superstitious man in baseball since George Stallings of the Miracle Braves. And that is saying plenty. Gowdy was, he was a cautious. His superstitions was something that took a college professor to keep up with. Let's go outside. For example, if Gowdy had breakfast, and the ball dropped one, he would have breakfast at the same place, sit in the same chair, and have the same breakfast again the next morning, unless the demon out of town. Pitch it outside, ball three. He would go to the ballpark the same way, without any deviation. He had another thing he had, which was rather expensive superstition. If the ball club lost a real tough ball game, he cut up the necktie he wore. That was that. This is low, ball four to Francis. And I remember in this World Series that they were playing the Tigers. That would be in 40. Gowdy wore a necktie, and the Reds lost the ball game, and he cut it out. Cincinnati with Bucky Wallace won the second game. He wore a tie that day, and then he saved it. He didn't wear it the next day, and Detroit won. In other words, on every day that Detroit won, Gowdy wasn't wearing this particular tie. And for the first six games, every day that he wore the tie, the Reds won. So the series went into seven, 3-3. He'd won the tie 3 days, and all 3 days it worked. And do you know that the ball club, at the end of game six, in a body, demanded he wear that tie the next day? And he did. And they said he won it. Of course, I'm not saying that Derringer, who pitched it, didn't have anything to do with it. You know, it's a mouse, but that was a series of Bucky Wallace kept the Reds alive, so Derringer finally won in the seventh. But the way human beings are, they only remember the Derringer won the seventh. The Wallace happened to win two that couldn't have gotten away. But we don't think that way anymore. There's a pitch off the catcher's mitt, and Frank, we go down to second base. It's a wild thing. Well, I'm going to get this superstition in yet. If it kills me, it's the last day of the season, my only chance. So I was trying to talk to ball players and remember the Gowdy stuff, which was going on, and Bobo Newsom, and I finally said to Hank Greenberg, "Hank, do you have a superstition?" And he said, "Yes, I have a very strong one." Well, I said, "Would you tell me what it is?" He's going to contact me. Every time I hit a home run, I carefully check every base. So I quit. That was enough for me. That ended the column. We got Hector Lopez up there, two ball and no strike count. Lewis here on the right hand, the curves him, another foul back. If Baltimore hit my sidekick, Jackie Brown. I wonder if it did hit him. Jack was just coming down the steps and was standing over by the wall to cool out. He wasn't looking. He waves. He hit him on the right arm, but he waves. He's grinning. Well, I tell you, we got these foul balls back in here. There's strike swinging, strike two. The first thing you tell anybody, the first time that you know that they're coming out here to work, or spectator, is for goodness sake, don't ever take you out that baseball. We've had two statisticians looking at the Western Union printer turn their head and get hit in the head. Jack, did it hit you right on the arm?
If it hit me in the head, it wouldn't have hurt, Brad. It hit me in the arm, the forearm.
Is this the first time I've been hit up here?
I won't be able to pitch tomorrow. Yeah, that's the first time I've been hit.
Well, Jack, how many years?
Since 22 years.
Well, you know what you did? And you broke the rule. You turned your head and you weren't looking.
That's right.
You were coming down the stairs.
That's right. I sure did. One of the principal rules, the cardinal principles up here.
Well, now, listen, boy, don't get hit anymore, because I need you. Now we got Hector Lopez and a 3-2 count. It's a strange season, isn't it? Umpire got hit the other night in St. Louis. Now Farrell gets hit up here where he's been living for a couple of decades. Strike three, curveball. Lopez is struck out. We have one down. Last to the four. Here's young Mike Hegan, who was walked in the second inning. Looking for his first major league hit. He's only had one official major league at bat. And that almost was a big one. Remember, he pitched it. Hit a big hard drive. It looked like it was going right in the Yankee bullpen where his daddy is the boss. And then the right fielder out there for the opposition just up and caught. Yes. Got a law degree in college?
I don't believe anything of the 1-1 equals 2. In fact, as you know, many times they come in correction on the ticker.
Yeah, but normally.
No run instead of one.
Yeah, but normally they just come along and say, punting and securing.
Yeah, but then when you have to come back and say it's been a correction on the ticker, people don't believe you. Some people don't, or they don't believe the wind will hold up a ball either.
Well, let's say this. There is one thing that is definite of the fact, and that is when it rains, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, officially, Louis Tiot is pitching for Cleveland, and he's 1-1 right now with Mike Hegan.
We can see him. We saw McDowell, too, one
year. We got runners at second base and a 1-1 ball game. Tiot's right-hander, Hegan hits the ground, foul. That's the first base coach, Jimmy Gleason. Well, this thing in the National League where, of course, it was simplified a quarter. When the Cubs beat the Giants yesterday, which, of course, does not help Alvin Dawkins. Anyhow, San Francisco's out of it. But if the Cardinals get beat by the Mets, and now after what the Mets have done in 2 days, what can you say what won't happen? There is strike three swinging, and Hegan is struck out by Tiot. That's his fourth strikeout. This is a real tough major league pitch at Tiot. He's got his 11th win. He's only been up half a season. He's got a contract to negotiate. The Indians want to beat the Yankees anytime they can. You know what the Yankees are doing this year? They won 15 out of 17. Bertie Tavitt says it's simply unbeaten. There was one thing about it, though, that's just the only plus thing for Cleveland I can think about. There is Gonzalez swinging. Tebbets had a real heart attack in the spring, and the doctors in that great business said he wouldn't manage again this year. But he's been managing since the middle of the summer. And if he were going to have a relapse, the Yankees would have done it to him a couple of times. So D.C. feels he suffered that, first of those four games of 2 nights of sleep. Now, the throwback to second, not in time. Blanchard had to come back in with a hand. So at least Tebbets, you know, has this extra confidence that he can now go on for the weather. He can stand anything after what's happened with New York. But also, seriously, Cleveland is trying to finish in a tie with Minnesota for sixth. If the Twins lose and the Indians win, it will be a tie. And the way human beings reason and look at things with their eyes, it looks so much better to finish in a tie for six than to finish seven. Pitch it over for a strike. Thank you. So, Tebbets didn't let a man go home, and he's got them all out here today. Let me see. I'm going to borrow Mel's phrase. Officially, Cisco is starting for the Mets and Simmons for the Cardinals. Two strike pitch. One on and missed. Curveball. So, Tiot, after giving up the walk and then wild pitching, struck out three. And the four at the end of four. Cleveland one, New York one. Well, we're sorry to say is if the Mets beat the Cardinals, and the Phillies beat the Reds, we've got something that never happened before. And, of course, that's one of the charms about baseball. You can never tell what will happen, and always, there's always something that never happened before. I don't think the mathematician is alive that could figure, and I don't care if he had a dozen slide rules, the variations of baseball on a season schedule. You can have a three-way playoff. And my understanding is, that it's a round robin. In other words, everybody plays everybody once. Then they start it again, and the first team that loses two, how is up?
Then the next team, the Twins, still has it. And they get to play with the Yankees. It's a lovely prospect, I'm sure. Well, the stadium will take what? Up in the 60,000. Be surprised how somebody going for a World Series pulls for the other fellow who's got the big ballpark. Now, I don't understand it, but if the Cardinals win and the Reds lose, St. Louis wins. If the Reds win and the Cardinals lose, Cincinnati wins. Johnny Johnson, let's see if we can't get this to a personal situation that we can all translate. Much more simplicity, say nothing of equanimity. Johnny Johnson has drawn the assignment for the Yankees to go to the opposing town. There's the first pitch now to Martinez, the ground ball to Thorne, and throw. Hector Lopez, the ball went into the hole. Lopez flagged at it, and Lindgren tried to back him up, and the ball goes through. Let's see how this scores. They're charging Lenz an error, which is real rough on the last day of the season because Lopez had, first of all, shielded the ball and maybe had partially touched it. I couldn't say for certain, but Lenz was only backing up in the hole. And Martinez can run. Well, I guess Lenz, who is, you know, he had his harmonica taken away from him, I guess he doesn't mind another error. He's going to be in a World Series anyhow. So Martinez is on. Usually on the last day, people are generous. Wonder how Rizzuto scored it over there on TV. He's pretty quick about the shortstop. He watches out for him, boy. The pitch to this young catcher, Duke Sims, big 6 foot, 2 inch, 200-pound left-handed hitter, is outside ball two. He was struck out in the third inning after hitting, as they say in the state, a foul ball home run. He almost had it. He's looking for his first major league hit. He's 0-2. Swings on a curve, and there's a high fly ball in the short left center. Marcy Moore coming over, and the center fielder makes the cut. So we have one goal. Now we have Teon, the pitcher who hit the home run for himself, his first major league round trip in the third inning. They get back to Johnny Johnson. He's got the goal to wherever the opposing team of the World Series is, because he's been given the assignment of getting out there pronto and getting the Yankee allotment of tickets and distributing them. Now, that's an important job and a big job. But now, where is Johnny going to go? He's out here with his suitcase, looking at the scoreboard, and they haven't even started playing. That's a fun attempt by Teon, the home run hitter. Strike one. Wow, okay. So, I know that the North Secretary, Bill Burgess, he's in consultation with 7 or 8 airlines. And Johnny may not go anyplace. He may go back home if they start on a playoff, so you won't know for a while. Curve, money back foul again, strike 2. Or he may go to Philadelphia, but that won't be so tough. He might go get his car and go down. But he might go to Cincinnati. Well, he wouldn't go to Philadelphia tomorrow, would he? That'd have to be a playoff. They'd have to win it. He might go to St. Louis. So John told me the only thing that he knew to do was just kiss his wife when he left home and tell her goodbye. Curve is outside. Ball wide. Mr. Barra. And this one supreme question that Yogi has. And that is sublime, simple realism. No ifs, ands, or buts about Yogi. As far as he's concerned about tomorrow, the Yankees are going to work out here at the stadium. Serious. Serve again for call strike 3. Teon is out and 2 men are gone. First strikeout for Rennie, who's the second Yankee pitcher. Yogi is working through his squad today, of course, in particular tuning up his bullpen, pitching staff. He had about in the first 3. Now we have Vic Sabalilo, a little center field over that turned around stand. Feet close together, forward foot right up against the plate. If you drew a line between this left-handed hitter's ankles, it would project itself right to the third baseman. That's how turned around he is. It looks like he's locked. But then when he steps forward, he unlocks. This is wide, ball one. One-one tie out here. Last leg is getting ready to go. Pitch is over for the strike. They won't be playing for another 3 or 4 minutes. You want the pitches again? Official starting Cisco for the net. Boy, I bet this thing has stayed up all night left. Simmons for the Cardinals. And Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Bunning for the Phils, and Satori for the Reds. One-one pitch, the runner goes, and there's a foul back. So, you got to send Martinez back to first. Start him again. One and two. Johnny Hemus pushing down at third. El Mavallo pushing at first. Al Rennett in his second tune-up inning delivers, serve, fouled off. Speaking about Don Lilo having an unorthodox stand, it doesn't make any difference what sort of a stance you have as long as you hit the ball. Now, if you've got a funny stance and you're not hitting, then they're gonna monkey with you, change you around. But if you're hitting it, they're going to leave you alone. I think one of the great examples was 16-year-old kid came out of Louisiana, and he threw his right foot, he's left-handed batter, he threw his right foot up about as high as his shoulder. There's a high fly ball in the short left field. Jimenez coming under, and he has it for the out. And this fellow is throwing that foot way up there. Nobody had done that before, but he was hitting the ball. And Mr. John McGraw says, don't anybody change it. And that fellow was Mal Ott. And to his last at bat, he threw that foot up there. And at the end of 4.5 innings, the score remains. Cleveland 1 and New York 1.
Valentine's Day. You wrap your hand around an icy cold glass of it.
Valentine's Day.
You taste it, crisp, clean, refreshing.
Valentine's Day.
Won't fill you up, won't let you down.
One game up on the Yankees. There's runners coming out on deck, so that settles that. There's a 6-1 on a high curve. Well, to all practical purposes, it settles it. I mean, you can still call him back and send up somebody, but the chances are, if he was going to make the move, considering the situation as it is today, he would have the hitter out there and not Rennett. That ball is high. Ball one. In the Kansas City-Chicago game, the White Sox have to win this to have undisputed second place. If they lose it, then they've got to split their money with the Orioles. There's a high fly ball in the short left field. The shortstop, how's it going on? Raise everybody off this. Makes the cut. That is all four more. Well, Joe does change. He pulls Rennie's back and puts up Craig. I guess Joe gets gotten so accustomed to playing it close to his chest, he can't change the last thing. Well, maybe he wanted Rennie to have the experience of at least going out to be on the on-deck circle. Find out where it is. Anyhow, Tush is going to hit for him, and that's two innings for Rennie. We had three for Bowden. Papa Hegan has got the bullpen going out there. Tush is coming up. I got two out to the left-handed. Last half of the fifth. 1-1 tie. Outfield toward right. Tush cuts and pops it up. The third baseman is digging. He's going back. Alvich. Now, wait, gets out of the way. The shortstop comes in behind him for the catch in fair ground, and we have two down. Bill Lenz, who has struck out, grounded out. The only one of the regulars who's starting today, and of course, with Kubek having the bad right hand, Yogi didn't have any choice. Fastball over for a strike. Nothing in one. Lynn has really been a valuable fellow this year. He picked up Black at third base at shortstop. With a ground ball to the right side. The first baseman is up with it. Over to the pitcher covering in time for the out. And the side is the side in order. At the end of five, the Indians, 1 run, 3 hits, and no errors. The Yankees, 1 run, 2 hits, and 1 error.
Looking for flavor in a filter cigarette? Change to Winston.
Yes! If you're looking for taste in a filter cigarette, change to Winston. For flavor in a filter cigarette, change to Winston. Take a Winston. Make sure like a cigarette. Good. Winston, make sure like a cigarette. Good.
Winston is the filter cigarette with flavor. For only Winston gives you both a modern filter and filter blend up front. Filter blend means fine tobacco, specially selected, then specially processed for the best taste in filter smoking. Next pack, make it flavor. Make it Winston, America's largest selling filter cigarette.
Winston, make your cigarette good. Winston, make your
change to Winston.
Well, let's see. This is the end of the fifth. Mel Sotomayor torn to relieve. This is the last day of the season. So, on the big flagship station in New York, this may be my last opportunity this season to say the deathless phrase. We pause for station identification.
You're listening to New York Yankees Baseball over WCSS 1490 on your dial in Amsterdam, New York.
Mel Sotomayor is coming on for a final tune-up. This is his first time relieving, and there's a very good reason for it. He was too valuable as a starter when they brought him up from Richmond. His first pitch to Dick Houser is low outside, 4-1. Houser, a little right-hand hitter, who's had 2 for 2. He got them both up top. Sotomayor made 12 starts with the ground ball to short. Lynn, over to first. To Hegan, for the out. One down. Sotomayor, since being brought up from Richmond August the 11th, and the Yankees started him on the 12th against Chicago, and he beat him. Then they started him against Baltimore, and he beat them. That was the turning of the tide, I tell you frankly. In his first 12 ball games all start, He got a decision. He won 9, lost 3. There's a ground ball, hit back to second base, and threw in the center field for a base hit. Chances are with a single. This is hit number 4. The Indians in 3 innings got their run and 3 hits off foul. Nothing off Remington 2. And now in a third of an inning, 1 single off Saddlebile. And here is Wagner, who struck out and popped up. Left-handed batter. Curveball is in. Leon. I'd like to bat in just one more. He's got 99. The record looks much more impressive, you know, 100 RBIs. Takes a curve, low inside. Ball one. One and one. Mel Stoudemire, slender young man, who practically had to play with the Yankees got to sign him. He signed for nothing. All right. When you have stories like that, Charlie Gehringer, the great second baseman of the Tigers, walks into the ballpark. Says, give me a job. Same thing for Dale Anderson of Philadelphia. Of course, after he'd been out there in front of those walls for a couple of years, I think he wished he hadn't done it. One-two pitch. Ball inside. Ball two. Our Mr. Rizzuto, you know, was rejected at Ebbets Field by the manager he later played for the Yankees. But dang, once he was too small, then the next time I said, don't pull any more weight. Wagner swings, misses, and strike three. Two down, solid to six. Over the National League, along the Tebbin at Mississippi, it is Cisco going against Simmons. And alongside, here's a pitch by Frank Turner. Ball one. The beautiful Ohio. They failed to score at Cincinnati, their first at bat. That's the first we've had. That's probably the official starting pitch. Running against the Tigers. No score for Philadelphia. A bounce ball right back to Stoudemire. The recovers, hold the first, and that's the third out. No runs, one hit as Stoudemire tunes an inning. Score at the end of 5.5. The Indians won, and the Yankees won.
Valentine beer, it's crisp and clean like no other beer.
Valentine beer,
shines through the glass like frosted gold.
Valentine beer,
turns your thirst to a smile.
You get a smile every time with a Valentine.
Won't let you up, won't let you down.
The crisp, clean taste of a Valentine.
Won't fill you up, won't let you down.
Half of the sixth inning, a 1-1 ball game here at the stadium. And Jake Gibbs is first up. Now the Yankees have invaded him to a catcher a couple of years ago. Left-hander, he's off the queue today. Right-hander Louis Tiant, who means business as Cleveland, delivers. It's a high fastball that Jake just did check his swing on. Tebbets has all his regulars in there. He wants to finish in the top of six if he can.
He'll have to win today, and the Angels will have to beat the Twins for that to happen. The Mets didn't score in the first inning in St. Louis. Gibbs takes a cut, doesn't get it. One and one. Cervelli coaching his third. He's getting ready to go into his 23rd World Series. Jimmy Gleason coaching down at first. Gibbs sets on a pitch high, strike two. Keon pumps. Right-handed pitch is swung on as a high fly ball into short right. Francona loping in. He's under it. Easy play and one out. The Yankees had two hits. They got him in the second inning when they got their run. Lance's single went up on Lopez's infield out and scored with two down on Moore's double to the opposite field, left field corner. And here is Elvio Jimenez, his older brother is playing with the Athletics. Right-hand batter takes a pitch outside, ball one. At the end of the quarter, it's the Browns, 7, and the Cowboys, nothing. As we move over to football, there's a base hit in the center. And for Jimenez, this is his first major league hit. Single in the center field. It's number 3 for New York. At the half, the Eagles, 14, and the Steelers, nothing. And at the quarter, the Cardinals, 14, and the Redskins, 3. So that gets up to date on the pro football picture. The Mets fail to score their first lick at St. Louis, and the same for the Phillies at Cincinnati. And that's how that one stands. This one here at the stadium is 1-1. And here's Blanchard up. Single on the walk. Takes across the knees, low inside, ball one. Left-hand batter, they play him to full, decidedly in the right. Deion throws first, doesn't do it. Chance returning. Ground ball in the right field, base hit for John. Jimenez around second base and holds on. He doesn't risk it on Francona's arm. So a single to right. So Blanchard is 2-4-2. Yankees are at first and second. 1-1 ball game. Each side now has one run, four hits. There's Hector Lopez, who came to the Yankees as a third baseman, and they converted him to an outfielder. But today, in the finale, Yoga's got him at third. Still straight away. Lopez with a turned around stand. Curve is good on the outside. Slow curve ball. Nothing in one. Keon ought to be able to throw a curve ball. His daddy used to pitch around these parts, and he was quite a curve ball operator, they tell me. I guess he taught the boy how to throw it. A good serve again on the outside. Strike two. Had a visit with Bill Skiff before the ball game, and I see Johnny Nolan over there sitting down and had a chat with him. They have been out scouting. They were on the Cardinals thumb. They were on the Phillies earlier, and they concentrated primarily on the Reds recently. They got the book on Cincinnati, and they brought it in. As a foul ball out of play. Mayo Smith is still with St. Louis. And so you don't think that It's a weighted seesaw. The Yankees have been well scouted by anybody who wanted to look at them. It's an open part of the business. Same thing about football. In fact, football's gone so far now as coaches now swap game films with each other. Inside. Yeah, it used to be when you went out to do a college football game, you were hard pressed. You didn't have time, you didn't have money to go to the visiting team's campus and talk to their coaches and look at their film. They used to really guard that film very jealously. The only time they would show it would be after the season in front of an alumni that hoped to give $500,000. So you'd go to the home team and you'd look at their film and talk to their coaches. There's another foul back. But this past fall, when I was doing some regionals for CBS, you go into a place and they say, "Well, whose film do you want to see first? Ours or theirs?" One out. Yankees is first and second. 1-1 ball game. Louis Tiant for Cleveland. He means business. Delivers. Fast ball is in there good. Lopez, who has been taking the curve, I guess he thought, well, he's going to curve me again, and he didn't. Now we have young Mike Higgins, who's looking for his first hit.